Come on, come all, come gather round. Come hear tales both lost and found. Grab yourself a drink with a splash of lime. It's David and Michael's story time.
Hey everyone, welcome back to another exciting episode of Story Time. I guess by the time this comes out, New Year edition. It's the 29th. We're recording a couple
There's
days
no
before the new year.
There's no way David's going to record this and get this edited before
it's
the new
gonna
year.
It's not going to go up before the 1st, that's for sure. And the 1st is a Monday, which is normally when it would go up, but it might go up like a day later or something.
Well, David, happy 3 or 4 day weekend to you, depending on what it's going to be.
Yeah. So I hope everyone is having a good holiday season.
My holiday season was well. From what I can understand of what David has told me, it sounds like your holiday was well. So I hope everyone else had a wonderful holiday. David, before we can go to new business, we have to then go through the old business.
That's right.
What is on the docket for 2023 before we enter the new 2024?
Well, I thought looking back on the year, it would be nice to do a little bit of a mailbag check, because we haven't really called out some emails or responses we've gotten in a while. So we're going to do that. I have them up. Do you want to start with the emails or the question responses?
Great.
The questions are just the generic, what did you think of this episode on Spotify? Which, if I had to put a New Year's resolution for the podcast for me, I would say I might try to do more custom questions on Spotify.
Oh, yeah.
So if you listen on Spotify, look out for that. If you don't, that's fine.
Love to hear that. I'm a little scared about what the Spotify people are going to say. So let's start with the emails. People that have literally invoked our names. They have summoned us to them. Let's see what they have to say.
I have three emails to read to us. Now, they haven't all come in. The earliest of them came in in October, but I don't think we ever shouted it out.
I don't think we did, no.
Yeah. 'Cause here we go. So this one is actually someone who did write us in November of last year, and then we shouted them out, but they said that they were early-ish on in the series, so I think we made a joke about how it's going to be a year before they hear that we shouted them out.
Sure.
And so then they wrote us in October, and this is what they said. Hello
and
again.
And then after you write us, it's going to be another 4 months before we read it.
Well, so. I guess that means that they're a little more caught up than before. So here we go.
Okay.
Hello again, Michael and David. Guess what? I'm still listening to the podcast, and I finally reached the episode in which you gave me a shout out. It brought a great big smile to my face, and like you predicted, it did take a year of listening to podcasts to get to that episode.
Yeah.
I'm still a huge fan, and I'm still loving the podcast. I'm absolutely loving the Animorphs episodes, and I'm terrified for a group of kids. I'm still waiting on Lost, and I talked myself out of Wikipedia-ing the rest of the plot. Your co-producer, M, did a wonderful job reading My Immortal. It had me cringing at my past self when I loved MCR and wore too much eyeliner. Teenage me could have used a David the Teenage Girl Whisperer in my life. Which, to this day, I think that is one of the most regrettable bits that we've done. just as far as what it sounds like it is. Because that's not...
I love it. We should sell it to TLC. We should call you David the Teenage Girl Whisperer. And there would be cliques and fight at school. We'd be send David in there.
And here's the thing. It'd be teenage girls from when I was a teenager. Because teenage girls today, I probably know literally nothing. I could not relate or identify to
you
most
You need to
things.
Do a deep dive into TikTok to learn what they're talking about so that you can then communicate with them on their level.
I don't want to be that guy. and Michael, please keep throwing out all the jokes you can because your sense of humor is my cup of tea. Please consider a Patreon because I'd love to support your work. Still your fan, Michelle.
Thank you for spilling that tea. I love that. I don't think it's tea so much, more of marijuana that the jokes are coming from, but that's great.
You drink tea. Oh, you drink mostly coffee. You don't really drink a lot
I
of tea.
I love me a cup of coffee. I do have tea, and I do enjoy a cup of tea. I'm not against a tea, but if we're talking between the two, I'll take that, get that little jitter going on. I like them coffee jitters.
Sure. Well, thanks for writing, Michelle. Here's to another year before you hear that.
Yeah, we'll talk to you in 1 year. Write us back when you hear this shout out.
Then we have, here's one with the subject line, "Yes, I'm into feet, Santel."
Oh, no!
"Hey, guys. It's about time I sent this email. I work for the post office, so I listen to a lot of music and podcasts when I'm on my routes."
That's a feet-heavy job. That's sure a job is. Where you're thinking about feet a lot.
"I found you guys after Santel went onto the Chilluminati pod with the boys and figured I'd had to give you a listen. I've blown through about 3 years of your podcast and I'm still going strong. Just got through Cinderella and had to let you know, it's okay, Santel. Some people are into feet. Just embrace it, my man."
We've got to figure out a way to get more mail carriers into the show, because they're going to listen to a lot. They need a lot of content.
That's true. Anyway, love what you guys do and the chemistry that you have. I've had a bunch of people stare at me on Roots because I'm cackling to myself because of some weird things that you guys said. Keep on doing you, and I'll keep listening. Matt, he, him."
This is a perfect, not suitable for work thing that you can just have in your earbuds as you're going through the burbs, dropping off people's presents. I love it.
Like, it's suitable for work as long as you're the only one listening to it, right? Like,
yeah,
there's no visual component, so it's not like someone could come up behind you and be like, "Oh my God, what are you watching?"
Right. But do you think he bumps it in the mail van in the little
maybe?
What are they? Are they vans? What are the
truck? The mail truck.
Is it a truck though? It's got that weird slidey door.
I don't know.
Well, it's,
I
guess, like, if your
Matt,
mom's...
Wait, if you hear, like, this, Matt, let us know. What is it, a truck or a van?
It's like your mom's car and your dad's car had a baby. You know what I mean?
I think it depends, because some of them do ride in, like, the more classic vans, right? With, like, the cages, you know?
Sure.
And then some of them, I think, are on those, like, more boxy, like, around our area, the more boxy, like, what I would call a truck.
I guess it's a truck, but it's like a weird havesy car.
It's like a U-Haul, right? Like, it's like,
yes,
it's kind of like a, like, in the same
blankets inside. Same kind,
how you'd call a U-Haul a truck versus a van, right? I would call
it. I hear you. Listen, this is one of those timeless questions. Is a hot dog a sandwich? We're not going to solve it here. Who's the third person that reached out to us?
The subject is, "Keep up the good work." It's a very short email.
Okay.
"Recently just finished all the eps of Storytime, and I want to thank you two silly boys for the laughs and the intro into a lot of stories I would have never found on my own. Have a great day, Michael and David."
Hot dog. Thanks.
That's it.
Thanks for the kind words. Thanks for... please keep listening. Don't just think that that's the end of the show and now you continue. I mean, we've fallen behind, but you should keep going.
And to make the shout out complete, like, that's... I'm not going to give their full name, obviously, but that's from another David. So rock on... Other David.
we're only people with Michelle's and David's are the ones that...
And the last one was Matt, which is my brother's name. But that is not, I'm pretty sure, my brother who wrote us that email.
It's a very weird email for
my brother does not work for the post office.
Ingratiate himself back into your life. That's a weird way to do it. I mean, I guess this would be the way. You will see it if it comes through.
Well, those are the emails that I had for you. Besides the... We have a ton from a guy who wants to build us a website, but I looked at it. It's nothing.
David, I don't understand.
I don't mean to call
him
out like that.
Yeah, I know, but like, what do you want to partner with us? Like, you just want us to pay you, unless, I keep reading those emails. Like, what would he have to do? How do they triple our audience? They build us a website.
I liked that he gave us, like, a kind of a more aggressive tact with his last one, which is like, "Hey guys, we have your sample website. It'll only be up for 2 more days, and then we're taking it down." And I'm like, okay. I did look at it.
I did too. It was all of our normal assets.
Yeah, it's what you would...
Yeah, David could make that website. David, do you want to make us a website for 2024?
We technically have a website if you go through like Spotify.
Oh, right,
like,
there's whatever. Something
we
there.
Have, there is a link for our podcast. I'm pretty sure it's in the information on our podcast. But
well, what a perfect transition. Okay.
Now we have the Spotify answers.
Let's go jump into Spotify. So I don't listen. Spotify is a platform I don't really listen to.
Well, to be clear, we are technically, like, hosted by Spotify, although many of you listen to us on other platforms, because we originally were hosted through Anchor, which, like, put out to all these platforms, but then was, like, a year or two after we started with it, was acquired by Spotify, which is why we are now, like, quote unquote, a Spotify podcast. But we're not exclusively on Spotify, so whatever.
No. At this point, David
has to pay us to do that.
Yeah, David can't be exclusive. No, at this point, David needs full reign.
I am not.
He's open and honest with all of his partners, but they know that he's on many platforms. Always out there. He's got his feelers. He's just here to make connections.
I will not follow in the footsteps of Joe Rogan.
No, thank you. Yeah.
So I have like two recent episodes that got some responses. So the first one is from the Tales from the Chilluminati-verse Part 1, Provoking the Weird.
Sure.
We had three responses to that episode. One is, I'm a fan of the MCU, parentheses, Michael Santel Conversational Universe.
Listen, I'm going to let you know that I'm trying to build a bigger MCU. I'm trying my hardest.
That was from the user Used Napkin.
Thank you, Used Napkin. That's a gross name, but I love it.
And then from Amanda, I've been so excited for this. I haven't even listened yet, but I am very excited to listen. I know this will be a real delight. Now, that was written a month ago, so I hope you've listened to it by now.
Or I hope that we didn't scare you away with whatever content was there, because you did not respond back. So, Amanda, we need you to write in. We need to make sure you're okay.
And then finally, from Nick, the crossover that no one expected, but everyone needed, loved it.
Great. Well, listen, David,
I feel like it's hardly a crossover because all it was you mentioned that you had been on their show and then got stuff from their subreddit. So, like, they weren't on our show.
I also feel that it is time to have you on as well. That way the bridge...
Oh, sure.
I feel like, you know, I've done these things which are fine, but I feel like we need to complete the bridge and have you come over as
and
well.
And I'm gonna tease it on here. We haven't made any plans. A long time ago, we talked about having Alex Fasciani here on this podcast to tell us, what did I want him to tell us? I think he was going to tell us the entire plot of the Metal Gear games.
I believe that's what I would like to know more about, because those games are lost on me.
I think that's what he agreed to do, but he's such a busy guy, and I never really followed up, so it's been years since I pitched that to him. But I'm sure, given the right timing circumstance, we could probably get him to do that.
I feel like I could poke that bear a little bit more. He's not too far away from me. Yeah, let's make that happen.
Alrighty. So that was for that episode, and then we had one response to the last Animorphs episode, Part 38, The Arrival, from Flutter God. This was the best episode yet. Pless, give me more.
Okay. Well, we will. We're going to do
it. We will. We got more.
We've committed to it. We're going to do all of Animorphs.
We're two-thirds through the series. That's not like we're going to stop.
I can't believe we're so far through.
We're like over two-thirds. Yeah, and I've read the next one. The notes are forthcoming. We've talked about it. It's been a crazy couple weeks. So that's our mailbag. I'm turning it over. It's empty. Nothing else is falling out but old bills that are pink for some reason.
Or we need a she bag, David. We're inclusive. We like all the bags, whether it be wherever your bag's coming from. David, it's been a hot minute.
Yeah.
And sometimes, so often, I bring you garbage fairy tales.
That's true.
Now, I don't have any choice in the garbage of the fairy tales. They just, I'm picking through and finding it. Today, I have one to tell you that, oh boy, am I excited for you to hear it.
Like, because it's garbage? Because you tend to get excited when you're telling me a bad thing.
No, the opposite. I feel like this is just firing on full fairy tale world. Sure. I feel like there is some great leaps of logic. It's almost like a superhero tale, but like no superhero you want in your town. On page 322 of your Reader Costco books, chapter 90 from the Brothers Grimm, David, I am telling you, The Young Giant.
The Young Giant.
Uh-huh.
So this is not... this is not indie rock band from Orange County, Young the Giant.
No, unfortunately, and I'm not, I don't, I'm unaware of their music. I'm not going to ask you to put this.
If I showed you one particular song, I bet you would recognize it.
If it was in a Tony Hawk game, I'm sure I know about it. I'm not here to tell you to sprinkle in their drops into the episode. I'm not here to make you do that.
Because I probably won't.
I'm aware of them, but no, they're not part of my Orange County punk scene.
I wouldn't call them punk. I would call them Scott? Closer to like alternative indie kind of vibe.
Okay. All right. Well, listen. This is not Young's the Giant. There's only one Young Giant young in today's giant. Tale.
Okay. So, predictions. The Young Giant. So, I feel like there's... I kind of want to think that, like... So, obviously, there's a Young Giant. So, is either he doesn't have parents, or his parents are normal people... Or, like, he's a child of giants, but they, like, send him out into the world to, like,
David, prove everything, his giant. Okay, I'm not going to tell you what is true, but everything you just said is true. So, I don't want you to link onto it.
Okay, so he's got normal parents, and they send him out into the world because he's a giant. Or something
the opposite,
like that.
The opposite of that, okay. But everything you said was true.
Sure, okay. I feel like he's going to be regarded by most people with some sort of fear, suspicion, or as a monster. Mm-hmm. But then because of his gigantism, he rescues the cat from the tree. He, like, pulls the thing off the top shelf. He puts the star on the Christmas tree, right? Like, all the little things that tall people can do.
Yeah, that's all the things tall people can do. That's why we have them in our society. They really should do some sort of basketball crossover. Like, you know how they do slam dunk competitions?
Sure.
Make those dudes put stars on a tree and get the tree a little
fancy,
bit higher.
How fancy can you don a tree? Yeah.
Yo, I'd love to watch LeBron fucking slam a star down on a delicious pine tree green. That'd be great.
Sure. And then finally, I think that the story will end poorly for the giant.
Ooh, interesting, yeah. Interesting. David, is this a rich giant or a poor giant?
He's a poor giant. I don't think rich giants exist.
Except
the one at the top of the beanstalk, I guess.
How many people die?
Ooh, right. Four.
Is God involved?
Man, I've been really bad at this particular question lately. I'm going to say no. But if he does, that means the giant is a Nephilim.
Are there talking animals?
Yes.
And does he get himself a king? Yeah, what do we call it? It's a king's son. What do we call it? Just daughter? What do we call the princesses?
A king's daughter? A princess?
A king's daughter? Will he
a bride of some kind? I think
a queen's daughter.
I was gonna guess that kind of in the predictions. I think there probably will be like a marriage aspect of at some point. I don't know if it will like go through or something maybe that'll be part of how it ends poorly, is like his wife dies or something.
I will say there is, it's refreshing to know that there's no forced marriages in the story, so that's not there.
If there's a marriage, they marry for love.
Yeah, well, marry because dad fucked up in some regard, right? It's usually sure. paying off his debts with his children. Yeah. But today we have a new debt to hear, the Young Giant. Once upon a time, a countryman had a son who was as big as a thumb and did not become any bigger.
And during
several years, did not grow one hair beardeth. He's completely bare. No hair up here, no hair down there.
He's as big as a thumb.
As big as a thumb, David.
Yeah.
Once, when the father was going out to plow, the little one said, "Father, I will go out with you." "You would go out with me?" said the father. "Stay here. You will be of no use to me there. Besides, you might get lost."
I had like an inkling in the predictions that it might be like a tiny person who ironically is called the Young Giant, or like is gonna go out and like be in the world of bugs, and he's like big compared to the bugs or something, you know? Like
that's a great story as well. Then Thumbling began to cry, and for the sake of the peace of his father, put him in his pocket and took him with him. When he was outside in the field, he took him out again and set him down in a freshly cut furrow. While he was there, a great giant came over the hill.
Son of a... So it's a Thumbling story, but the giant is not the main character. Okay.
I'm going to let you know, David. I'm going to let you know. This is one of the... If we were to do a show and we were asked to animate it, this would be one of the stories I would bring to the show. "Do you see that great bogey?" said the father. For he wanted to frighten the little fellow to make him good.
Okay.
"He is coming to fetch you." The giant, however, had scarcely taken two steps with his long legs before he was in the faro. Two on top of them. He took up Little Thumbling carefully with two fingers, examined him, and without saying one word, went away with him. His father...
What? I've got a lesson right about
okay. Yeah, I listen. There's a lot of lessons in this story, okay? Yes, David, this is about child abduction.
Listen, it's already being written.
His father stood by and could not utter a sound for terror. And he thought nothing else that his child was lost and that as long as he lived, he should never set eyes on him again. Jesus. The giant, however, carried him home, suckled him, and Thumbling grew and became tall and strong after the manner of giants.
Of course.
When 2 years had passed, the old giant took him into the forest and wanted to try him and said, "Pull up a stick for yourself." Then the boy was already so strong that he tore up a young tree out of the earth by the roots. But the giant thought, "We must do better than that," and took him back again, suckled him for 2 years longer. Now, I want to know, what is he suckling on?
Right,
like,
no,
where is this?
Well, you don't know, giant's physiology, it's like seahorses. So, like...
Is that what it is? Are giants like dogs? They have, like, six nipples? Like, there's just more to go
and
around?
And the paternal side of the
comes through the male line.
Is what does the nurturing and suckling, yeah.
When he tried him, his strength had increased so much that he could tear an old tree out of the ground. That was still not enough for the giant. He again suckled him for 2 years. And when he then went with him into the forest and said, "Now, just tear up a proper stick for me," the boy tore up the strongest oak tree from the earth so that it split and that there was a mere trifle to him. "Now that will do," said the giant. "You are perfect."
Okay.
And took him back to the field where he had brought him.
Jesus, it says he tore up the strongest oak until it's from the earth until it split. Until the oak split or until the earth split?
Till the earth split.
That's what I thought.
He pulled it out in one, just like shook
and, like, just
the
caused
whole thing.
Like a canyon to like form.
David, guess what? His father was there following the plow. The young giant went up to him and says, "Does my father see what a fine man his son has grown into?" The farmer was alarmed and said, "No, you are not my son. I don't want you. Leave me."
Christ.
"Truly, I am your son. Allow me to do the work. I can plow as well as you, nay, better." "No, no, no. You are not my son. You cannot plow. Go away." However, as he was afraid of the great man, he let go of the plow and stepped back and stood at one side of the piece of the land. Then the youth took the plow and just pressed it with one hand, but his grasp was so strong that the plow went deep into the earth. The farmer could not bear to see that and called to him, "If you are determined to plow, you must not press so hard like that. It makes bad work." The youth, however, unharnessed the horses, drew the plow himself, saying, "Just go home, father, and bid my mother make me a very large dish of food. And in the meantime, I will go over the field."
Okay.
Then the father went home and ordered his wife to prepare the food. But the youth plowed the field. Plowed the field, which had 2 acres large, quite alone. And when he had harnessed himself to the harrow and harrowed the whole of the land, using two harrows at once. When he had done it, he went into the forest and pulled up 2 oak trees, laid them across his shoulders, and hung on them one harrow behind him and one before, and also one horse behind him and one before, and carried it all as if it had been a bindle of straw to his parents' house.
Cool.
He just put the horses on the trees, and like they were like, right? They're just like on it like toys. When he entered the yard, his mother did not recognize him and asked, "Who is this horrible tall man?" The farmer said, "That is our son." She said, "No, that cannot be our son. We never had such a tall one. Ours was a little thing."
Yeah, part of me is like, oh, these terrible parents who are like, "You are not my son. Get the fuck out of here." But like, literally, what would you think if, like, your son was as big as a thumb, and then someone brought a guy who's, like, 200 feet tall? Like that, you'd be like, that's not him.
I would love, I do not know, the other giant took two steps and went miles, right?
Right, right.
I picture him somewhere between, like, an Abraham Lincoln and then, like, maybe like a freakish 10-foot guy. Like, I don't
like,
know.
Like a Goliath, like who was like 9 foot six, 9 foot eight, something like that, you know?
I don't know what his actual height is because he does such crazy things, but it's in somewhere other words, in between that range.
About as tall as a Nephilim.
That's right, David. That's right. She called on him, "Go away, we do not want you."
Right.
The youth was silent, but led his horses to the stable, gave them some oats and hay and all that they wanted. When he had done this, he went into the parlor, sat down on the bench, and said, "Mother, now I should like something to eat. Will it soon be ready?" Then she said, "Yes," and brought him two immense dishes full of food, which would have been enough to satisfy herself and her husband for a week.
Okay.
The youth, however...
Why did she still, like... She's like, "Get the fuck out of here." And he's like, "Okay." And then he puts the stuff down and then comes back and is like, "Are you going to feed me now?" Like,
isn't,
what?
Isn't this exactly how children treat their mother? This is how I treat my mother. She can scream at me till the cows come home, right? I don't want
she
you here.
Still
I'm
has
like,
to feed
like,
me, though.
All right, well... still gotta feed me, you know what I mean? Also, David, remember when we were critiquing about how our parents don't listen to our show? Yes. My mother is listening to our show. She is listening to everything we are saying. Say hello to my mother.
Hello.
Mom, thank you. Mom, you're not I'm not here to say those things to you. But she is listening, so just keep that in mind, okay?
Sure.
The youth, however, ate the whole of it himself and asked if she had nothing more to set before him. "No," she replied, "that is all we have." "But that was only a taste. I must have more." She did not dare to oppose him. Oh, yeah. They're physically terrified of this person killing them.
Yeah.
The way all parents should be. You are getting older, parents. We will come and slit your throats in the night.
Jesus Christ.
I'm not in a mean way, in a nice way. They won't know it's coming.
Lovingly.
They'll be sleeping. Lovingly. Take the knife across your throat.
Tenderly, gently.
And Lydda put a huge cauldron full of food on the fire, and when it was ready, carried it in. "At length came a few crumbs," said he, "and ate all that there was, but still not sufficient to appease his hunger."
Okay.
Then said he, "Father, I see well that with you I shall never have enough food to eat. If you will get me an iron staff, which is strong, and which I cannot break against my knees, I will go out into the world."
So did the other giant just, like, leave?
Yeah, he's got other things to go suckle. He's got suckling needs that can no longer be... His mouth is too big. He's got to get another tiny person.
Interesting.
The farmer... And I also wonder if suckle... Like, I mean, he was, like, giving him giant food.
He nurtures him.
Yeah, but did they have, like... Do they have giant cows? Like, what is this, like, nourished dense that he, like, broke the magic of a thumbling into a real giant? Oh, David, just so you know.
Did the thumbs up response.
Yes, I have figured out how to do most of my computer's things. If you do one thumbs up, you get a thumbs up. If you do one peace sign, you get balloons. What? If you do two peace signs, you get a party. Confetti. If you do rock on, you get a laser show.
Okay.
If you do double thumbs down, guess what? You get get the rainstorm.
Yeah,
you get a rainstorm, and if I make hearts with my hands like this, not like this, it should shoot hearts all over your face.
It's great.
That's what it means.
See, now this is like the third episode in a row where we've broken down because your computer keeps flashing these like responses.
I will do a better job of getting rid of them, but I just like the idea that I have balloons on demand, so I don't know what to do.
Yeah, so just for the listening audience, if I ever laugh at what seems like not a funny thing, it might just be that, like, random confetti fell from the screen.
If you have no idea why David is doing something, it's because there's a laser show going on that none of you can see.
Get back to it!
The farmer was glad, put two horses in his cart, and fetched from the smith a staff so large and thick that the two horses could only bring it away. The youth laid it across his knee and snap! He broke it in two with the middle like a beanstalk and threw it his way. The father then harnessed four horses and brought a bar which was long and thick that the four horses could only just drag. The son snapped this also in two against his knees, threw it away and said, "Father, this can be of no use to me. You must harness more horses and bring a stronger staff." So, the father harnessed eight horses, brought one which was so long and thick that the eight horses could only just carry it. When the son took it in his hand, he broke off a bit from the top and also said, "Father, I see that you will not be able to produce me any such staff I want. I will remain no longer with you."
Okay, that's what they asked him to do in the first place, is go away.
Yes, he then wanted to belittle his parents that they could not meet his needs.
You can't provide once
that
for has, me.
Yeah, now that that's been fully established, I'll make my way.
So he didn't even need the staff, because it's not like, he just goes.
He just wants a fucking dope staff. Yeah, also, I mean, who David, doesn't? This is the time I want to let you know that I think that there's some sort of weird poison inside of this giant suckling that changes your brain chemistry, because David, just like Master Alfred said, some men just want to watch the world burn. And okay. I don't know when
are we about to get jokered.
David, let's see what this giant does on his travels.
It's about to get fucked up.
So he went away and gave out that he was a smith's apprentice. He arrived at a village where a
Well,
you know, he just tells people whatever the fuck
he's
he
he's never
wants.
Done that before.
Listen, I got a lot of muscle behind me. I'm pretty sure I'm a smith apprentice now.
You could probably be good, but you... Okay.
Where the smith lived, who was a greedy fellow, who never did a kindness to anybody, but wanted everything for himself.
Sure.
The youth went into the smithy and asked if he needed a journeyman. "Yes," said the smith, and looked at him and thought, "That is a strong fellow who will strike out well and earn his bread." So he asked, "How much wages do you want?" "I don't want any at all," he replied. "Only every fortnight, when other journeymen are paid, I will give you two blows that you must bear them."
What?
David.
I know what he means. I'm going to hit you.
Every payday. Yeah, I don't want any money. I just want to hit you twice. The miser was heartily satisfied and thought he would thus save much money. Next morning, the strange journeyman was to begin his work. But when the master brought the glowing bar and the youth struck his first blow, the iron flew asunder and the anvil sank deep into the earth and that there was no bringing it out again. Then the miser grew angry and said, "Oh, but I can't make any use of you. You strike too powerfully. What will you have for the one blow?" Then said he, "I will only give you a quite small blow. That's it." And he raised his foot, gave him such a kick that he flew away over four loads of hay. Then he sought out the thickest iron bar in the smithy for himself, took it as a stick in his hand, and went onwards. Just wanted to kick that motherfucker as far as he could.
That's so... David, he's the villain.
If I kicked you, that is assault.
If you kicked me?
Yeah, if I kicked you. If I just kicked you, you'd go, "Hey, man, why'd you kick me?" But if I get your consent to kick you, now we off to the races, baby. That's all I wanted to do. When he had walked for some time, he came to a small farm and asked the bailiff if he did not require a head servant. "Yes," said the bailiff, "I can make use of you. You look like a strong fellow who can do something. How much a year do you want in wages?" He again replied that he wanted no wages at all, but that every year he would give him three blows, which he must bear. Then the bailiff was satisfied, for he too was a conveyance fellow. Next morning, all the servants were to go into the wood, and others were already up, but the head servant was still in bed. Then one of them called to him, "Get up, it is time that we get going into the wood. You must go with us." "Ah," said he in a rough and surly tone, "you may just go then. I shall be back before any of you." Then the others went to the bailiff and told him that the head man was still lying in bed and would not go out into the wood with them. The bailiff said that they were to waken him again and tell him to harness the horses. The head man, however, said as before, "Just go there. I shall be back again before any of you." And then he stayed in bed for 2 hours longer.
Okay. Yeah, well, if he could, like, walk so much faster or farther, then, like, what does it matter, right?
At length, he arose from the feathers, but first he got himself 2 bushels of peas from the loft, made himself some broth with them, ate it at his leisure, and when he was done, went and harnessed the horses and drove them into the wood. Not far from the wood was a ravine through which he had to pass. So he first drove the horses on, then stopped them, and went behind the cart, took trees and brushwood, and made a great barricade, so that no horses could get through. When he entered the wood, the others were just driving out of it with their loaded carts to go home, and said he to them, "Drive on, I will be home before any of you." He did not drive far into the wood, but at once tore 2 of the very largest trees out of the earth, threw them into the cart, and turned around. When he came to the barricade, the others were still standing there, not able to get through. "Don't you see," said he, "that if you had stayed with me, you would have got home just as quickly and would have had another hour's sleep?" He now wanted to drive on, but his horses could not work their way through, so he unharnessed them, laid them on top of the cart, took the shafts in his own hands, and pulled them through, and did this just as easily as if it had been laden with feathers. When he was over, he said to the others, "There, you see? I have got over quicker than you," and drove on, and the others had to stay where they were. In the yard, he took a tree in his hand, showed it to the bailiff, and said, "Isn't this a fine bundle of wood?" Then said the bailiff to his wife, "This servant is a good one. If he does sleep long, he still is home before the others." So he served the bailiff for a year, and when that was over and the other servants were getting their wages, he said it was time for him to take him too. The bailiff, however, was afraid of the blows which he was to receive, and earnestly entreated him to excuse him from having them, for rather than he himself would be a head servant and the youth should be the bailiff. "No," said he, "I will not be a bailiff. I am a head servant and will remain so, but I will administer that which we agreed upon." The bailiff was willing to give him whatever he demanded, but it was no use. The head servant said no to everything. Then the bailiff did not know what to do and begged for a fortnight delay, for he wanted to find some way of escape. The head servant consented to the delay. The bailiff summoned all of the clerks together, and they were to think of the matter over and give him advice. The clerks pondered for a long time, but at last they said that no one was sure of his life with the head servant, for he could kill a man so easily as a midge. And when the bailiff ought to make him get into the well and clean it, and when he was down below, they were to roll up a millstone which was lying there and throw it on his head, and then he would never return to the daylight.
Sure. Drop a giant rock on his head is
David,
the answer to all your problems.
That was the best all the learned men in the town could come up with. Ask him to do a chore and then murder him while he's doing it.
This is where, if we were animating this story, right? All the clerks would be like in hoods and stuff for this meeting, and then they'd all come up with like, "Great, we're gonna drop a heavy rock on his head." All agreed? Yes. And then they would take their hoods off, and it's like Wile E. Coyote, Marvin the Martian, Elmer Fudd, like
Daffy Duck,
Tom the Cat, like, you know, like all of it.
The advice pleased the bailiff, and the head servant was quite willing to go down the well. When he was standing down below at the bottom, they rolled down the largest millstone and thought that they had broken his skull. And he cried, "Chase away those hens from the well. They are scratching in the sand up there and throwing the grains into my eyes so that I can't see." So the bailiff cried, "Shush, shush, shush," and pretended to frighten the hens away.
Yeah.
When the head servant had finished his work, he climbed up and said, "Just look what a beautiful necktie I have on." And behold, it was the millstone which he was wearing around his neck. The head servant now wanted to take his reward, but the bailiff again begged for a fortnight delay. The clerk met... Yes.
So I've been thinking about it because, like, the way that he's interacting with the world around him is he's, like, super crazy tall and huge.
Yeah.
But, like, so how big is this well?
David, great.
Like, around, again, like, the diameter. Because it's, so what I'm getting from this is, like, if it's, like, a normal-sized well, then, like, is he just, like, he's, like, 100 feet tall, but he's just as thin as a normal man?
He might be an Abraham Lincoln Slenderman. I'm like telling you, I don't understand where this power is coming from. Because he can clearly get into a well. And
but, like, and a, but a millstone hanging around his neck like a necklace.
Yes, yeah.
Like, so, it just feels so, like, what are the actual dimensions of this person?
David, it's a great question. Again, I don't know the size of what this giant is. The clerks met together and advised him to send a head servant to the haunted mill to grind corn by night, for yet no man had ever returned from there in the morning alive. I love that the town just knows about this haunted mill that they can send people to their death. The proposal.
I wonder if there's a. Do they have to build like another mill in town? And like they have to be very clear, like, this is the not haunted one. This is the one that's okay.
Or do people fuck up all the time and go to the haunted mill by mistake?
Well, where did we get the millstone from? Did we get it from the haunted mill or did we have to get it from another mill?
It's a great question, David. Let's find out. We'll find out right now. The proposal pleased the bailiff, and he called the head servant that very evening and ordered him to take 8 bushels of corn to the mill and grind them in the night, for it was wanted. So the head servant went to the loft, put 2 bushels in his right pocket and 2 in his left pocket, and took 4 in a wallet, half on his back and half on his breast, and thus laden went to the haunted mill. The miller told him that he could grind there very well by day, but not by night, for the mill was haunted, and that up to the present time, whoever had gone in at night had been found in the morning lying dead inside.
I see. So it's not like totally quarantined. You just can't be there at night.
He said, "I will manage it. Just go away and go to bed." Then he went into the mill and poured the corn.
Yeah.
About 11 o'clock, he went into the miller's room and sat down on the bench. When he sat there a while, a door suddenly opened and a large table came in. And on the table, wine and roasted meats placed themselves. And much good food beside. But everything came of itself and no one was there to carry any of it. After this, the chairs pushed themselves up, but no people came, and until at once he saw figures which handled knives and forks and laid food on the plates, but with his exception, he saw nothing. As he was hungry and saw the food, he, too, placed himself at the table, ate with those that were eating, and enjoyed it. When he had had enough, and the others also had quite emptied their dishes, he distinctly heard all the candles being suddenly snuffed out, as if it was now pitch dark. He felt something like a box on his ear. Then he said, If anything of that kind comes again, I shall strike out in return. And when he had received a second box on the ear, he too struck out. And so it continued the whole night. He took nothing without returning it, but repaid everything with interest and did not lay about him in vain. Listen, if you're going to do it, I'm going to punch harder. He would get a little dip. He would violently.
Wow. These are ghosts, right?
David, they're ghosts.
Yeah. Because it described them as, like, he saw figures there eating, but at the same time, he saw nothing. So, yes. Like, they're there, but not there, right?
They're there,
like,
but not there.
Yeah.
These fourth-dimensional beings, he's able... I guess giants can punch a ghost in the face. Well,
That's what I'm curious about. I want to see in the morning, like, what the result is so that we can, like, I can see, like, our ghosts affected by giants.
At daybreak, however, everything ceased. When the miller had got up, he wanted to look after him and wondered if he were still alive. Then the youth said, "I have eaten my fill and received some boxes on the ears, but I have given some in return." The miller rejoiced and said that the mill was now released from the spell and wanted to give him much money as a reward. But he said, "Money I will not have. I have
enough.
Can I
punch you?
I have enough of it." So he took the meal on his back, went home, and told the bailiff that he had... what he had done, he had been told to do, and would now have the reward agreed upon.
that guy, the miller, is really lucky that he spent all night punching and, like, didn't feel the need to, like, make him punch the miller too, you know?
Listen, the miller's just doubled his business, okay? He's, like, he's exercised these demons. He's gonna have a banger of a year.
He can grind at night now.
David, they can grind 24 hours a day. It's a real jet set radio kind of existence they're gonna have. When the bailiff heard that, he was seriously alarmed and quite beside himself. He walked backwards and forwards in the room, and drops of perspiration ran down from his forehead. When he opened the window to get some fresh air, but before he was aware, the head servant had given him such a kick that he threw through the window into the air so far away that no one ever saw him again.
Yeah, this is the Looney Tunes, like, they just launch off into the distance.
Then said to the head servant to the bailiff's wife, "If he doesn't come back, you must take the other blow." she cried, "No, I cannot bear it." And she opened the other window because drops of perspiration were running down her forehead.
You know what I would do in this situation if I was writing the story? Because he's like, "If he doesn't come back, you have to get hit now."
Yeah.
And then right before he kicks her, the guy he hit the first time has flown around the entire earth and lands back where he started.
Oh, David. Then he gave her such a kick that she too flew out and she was lighter. She went much higher than her husband. Her husband cried, "Do come to me." But she replied, "Come you to me, I cannot come to you." And
that's,
they hovered about there in the air and could not get to each other. And whether they are still hovering about or not, I do not know. But the young giant took up his iron bar and went on his way. The guy.
That guy kicked the gravity out of them.
David, is he chaotic good? Like,
no.
I don't know, fall on the spectrum of things? Because he does good boy things sometimes, but David,
he just wants to
punch things at full fucking strength.
I would argue even the things he does, like grinding the mill or like being the, like when he accomplishes the like task before he gets to hit someone, I would argue that they're not good deeds because he's only doing it to have a pretense to kick someone around the earth, you know?
Like, yeah, yeah.
I would argue chaotic evil. Neutral at best, but evil, I think.
Also, how sad is it to see your wife as you're dying, as you're flying away from each other?
Arms outstretched towards each other just
and
too far away.
She's going to atmosphere, David. The fucking moon with this
one. It said that they were hovering there. So, like, originally I saw it as, like, they're flying, and they're both just, like, flying, like, almost in, like, perpendicular arcs, like,
yeah,
constantly,
yeah.
So they can't reach each other.
Yeah.
But it says they're hovering there. So, like, I think he kicked them so high into the sky that they're just, like, stuck in the sky.
Just like Mario Galaxy, just, like, floating from
atmosphere.
They're just
stuck. I don't think they're moving, like, laterally. I think that he kicked them so high that they're just, like, whoop. Like, that's why I say he kicked gravity out of them. They're just, like, floating now because they're so high up.
I mean, listen, I know that you learned things. I've learned things. Let's share those things. Let's do some lessons with the audience.
Lessons.
I have quite a list.
So, and I don't want to step on your toes, but this just came to mind. I think giants are bad people. I think that there's something in the water.
I literally wrote that and then erased it because I was like, I don't think I want to make that big a claim.
Oh, yes.
But
I will
in this
make,
case...
I will make that claim. Giants are bad people. They raise their children to be bad people. They have skewed morals, if nothing else.
Yeah. Well, that'll be my last note. Lesson will be on that.
Okay, wonderful.
What is it?
So let's start at the top of your list. Where do we?
Okay.
Where does that fall?
Sorry, I was just writing. Okay. My first lesson. And we've had this as a lesson before. I know we have. And it always comes up in your stories and not mine.
Listen, it takes five times of you hearing something before it resonates with you. So we got to do this five times.
Don't steal kids.
Yes! If pops up a lot in our stories, but I feel like there's a lot happening in the world right now. Do not steal children. It's a great lesson, David.
I actually have a lesson that chronologically took place right before that one, but I didn't think to write it down until after. Don't make up bullshit to scare your kids. Like, yeah. Even for a lesson. Like, if there is something dangerous, like, warn them of a danger. That's okay. But, like, don't make up the boogeyman so that they'll quote-unquote behave.
Right. There's enough scary things in the world. Instead of trying to scare them with some, like, fake supernatural thing, just tell them about Hamas. Like, just let them know about the other evils of the world that will come and get you. They are watching your house right now. You should be very careful.
Explain what an insurance adjuster does. And it's crazy because in that sense, like, in the story, the giant was in the distance and the dad was like, see that bogey, right? Like, literally, like, look at that boogeyman. He's gonna get ya. And then what did he do? He actually did come get it.
Yeah. It was a tough day for everybody that day.
My next lesson is, apparently, according to this story, nurture beats nature.
Yes. Unfortunately, I think that's the case. Exactly. I think that's what it is.
He suckled at the teat of a giant and became a giant himself. That wasn't nature, that's nurture.
And I don't know if it was a teat or not, but I don't know what else you suckle at. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I was speaking metaphorically, but yes.
Yeah, I understand.
Maybe
I
also
understand.
Literally. Maybe
I understand. I understand. I suckled at the teat of my mother. She can confirm. That's how I got so big and strong.
Metaphorically.
No. I was best friend. No, I got that real good mom nutrients in my body.
My next lesson is, if you did not listen to the first lesson, which was, and you did steal a kid, give it back.
It's true. If you get a kid for a couple of days, just, you know, once you're done trying it out,
just give it back. Yeah. But I can't guarantee that no questions will be asked.
Yeah, well, no, that's what happens.
I then wrote, the son surpasses the father.
That's true. That's what happens.
And then I have kind of what I have as my main lesson for what is the rest of the story, which is try to get around it. Don't try to find some sneaky way to not. Just pay your workers. Because the first story was the miser who was like, oh, I don't have to pay him his wages if I just let him punch me twice.
But I also think it means don't get into... If a deal sounds too good to be true, it is. Right? Yeah. I guess trust people at their word. Like, if somebody tells you, like, my kink is I'm going to punch you, like, they're going to do it or, like, make it happen.
Now, to the miser's credit, he didn't see an example of the man's strength until technically after he made the agreement.
Till the anvil.
But he is a literal giant.
Yes, correct. Right.
So that's a little bit on him.
Correct.
Then I have one that it's a little bit of a slant, but I wrote, manipulate the world around you to your advantage. And then I have in parentheses, like, the barricade. So that whole thing where he's like, I'm going to be there before you. I'm going to beat you. I thought it was just going to be because he, like, takes such big strides, he'd get there faster. But, like, it was actually that he, like, put up a wall so that they couldn't travel.
David, you said this.
He also just abandoned them in the woods there.
He's a bad person. Like, yes. I don't know. They, like, gave this person, like, in all of our other stories, it's the good person who gets, like, a one-up on things and betters himself.
Yeah.
He was a bad, like, I don't know. I think, like, becoming a giant did something to his tiny brain.
Yeah, and if we're talking on those, like, that alignment scale, I guess I would say he's chaotic evil, but I could make an argument for, like, a neutral or lawful evil because he's, like, beholden to these agreements that he makes.
Right, he is, that's what I meant, like,
right?
He's lawful evil, because he does, you, like, ask him to do a thing, and he does it, right? He doesn't, like,
do anything. But then he's like, but now you gotta hold up your end of the bargain.
Right, okay, right. Yeah.
Deal with the devil, you know?
He's chaotic, he's lawful bad.
The Nephilim man, I'm telling you.
I'm telling you.
I have violence begets more violence.
Yes.
He was punching people. They tried to drop a millstone on his head. It's just a cycle that perpetuates.
This is all of this is just a cycle of evil repeating.
Slender Man is real.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, funny enough, keep that idea in mind.
Okay.
That Slender Man is real for the
because
next.
Because right behind you. No. Is Slender...
David, if you see a raid store, run out of the room. Okay.
What were you going to say about Slender Man, though?
I was going to say, keep that idea of thought beings in mind for our story that we're going to do, that you're going to do with me, which is now the tease, and we'll circle back to that at a later date.
Yeah. Cool. I have a couple lessons left. Ghost food is legit.
Yeah.
Ghost food is real.
I'm going to let you know, in everything... Or like fairy.
I thought it was going to be like poison or something, but it was great, apparently.
Yeah. And I'm funny because we're talking about fairy tales, but I mean, like, in tales of dealing with fairy folk, you're not supposed to eat the food because then you get trapped in that world. So I wonder if the eating of the ghost food is what allowed him to then interact with the spirits.
Oh, sure.
You know what I mean? Because there seems to be like the ghost gave him his last meal, right? Like a prisoner or something like that.
So I have a theory on why he could punch the ghost. It's my second to last lesson. Ghosts can be punched by giants because giants are also magical creatures.
Yeah, I would say that whatever that special milk was that he was suckling on, whatever that formula was, he can like now peer the veil into that like dimension.
Yeah, pierce the veil even. Or peer through the veil?
Either one, David, either one.
My last lesson was the response to you saying giants are bad.
Yes.
It's not necessarily I think that he's a giant is why, but it could be the lesson, absolute power corrupts absolutely.
I think that's good. I also, just to piggyback off that, kind of just summation this, I think Hulk's got a smash. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
some people are just gonna be dicks.
Some people are just fucking raging hard-ons.
And sometimes those people who are just dicks are also strong.
Yeah, it sucks. It sucks when a bad person actually has the ability to execute their bad things. Yep. David, I'm going to let you know that in this joint universe, this MCU that I'm a part of, along with the Davidverse that's going on, the DCEU, if you will, the David conversation.
David covers... David
educational
everything.
Educational universe.
I was going to say David covers everything.
Thank you. That's really good too. Yeah. But the MCU and the DCU, I mean, that's just the problem, man. And in terms of our joint canon, this giant with his metal pole is out in the world, David. Nobody has stopped him.
Yeah, that is an origin story.
He is out there, and I don't know who takes him down. I don't know one of our other creatures. It's got to be a god fight at the end of the day. Or maybe it's Jack from the Beanstalk that takes him down. I don't know.
What if it's the same giant?
David, just in that whole story, if he goes, right, he chases after him and he grabs his metal stick, we're going to know.
Yeah,
it's a joint tale. You know,
he's hurt so many people over the years that he's progressed from just kicking people up into the sky. That got boring after a while. So now he grinds them up to make his bread.
He loves bread because it turns him to a big boy. Ladies and gentlemen, that is our lawful, chaotic, evil person story for the year. Happy 2024. Safe travels to you. The one who's a bookhead, well, that's David Miller.
And the one who's head of the books, well, that's Michael Santo.
We'll see all you kids and cats real soon for more tales from the MCU and the DCU.
Okay,
bye.
That's our show. Thanks for coming round. Don't be sad. No need to frown. We'll have more stories. Don't throw a fit. Goodbye, one and all, and we'll see you in a bit.
The sun snapped it. This one also in two.